Well, good morning, everybody. This is Desi Payne, and I would like to welcome everyone to today's call. And I hope all of you had a very nice Valentine's Day. I got dark chocolate, so I'm still pretty happy about that. But I'm filling in for Becky, and I'm sure all of you probably know that her mother-in-law passed away. And they're driving back, and I know they hit some snow yesterday, so we're going to definitely lift them up in prayer again. But I've learned from experience, whenever you have a death in the family, it's very stressful time in your life. And not only are you dealing with the shock of the news, the grieving process, which immediately begins, your mind trying to wrap itself around the reality of what just happened, dealing with the funeral arrangements, calling family members, and then when you have the funeral, you're dealing with family members, which might be, and maybe all of you can relate to this, the good, the bad, and the ugly. You're also dealing with the lack of sleep. Your emotions are raw. It's just a lot to deal with. And I know that Becky and John also did the service, and so from doing that myself on one occasion, you really want to say the right things that are going to minister to everybody. So, again, it's a real stressful time. And then driving home in the blizzard yesterday, that is stressful in itself. So, ironically, today I want to talk about the subject of stress. And today I'm going to give you the 3L strategies for reducing levels of stress in your life. So I'm going to start by telling you this story. A friend of mine had baked and decorated a cake which weighed half a ton. And it was for the presidential inaugural ball in 1989. And needless to say, that was a pretty stressful situation with secret men standing over her and watching everything that she did. And when she's almost done with this cake, the very last thing that she needed to do was to center the words President George Bush at the bottom of the cake. And to do that, she needed to meticulously glue each letter to the cake with icing. And she's almost done when one of the Secret Service men tell her that the president is on his way and she needs to hurry up and get it done. And at the same time, she notices she's out of icing. So at the end of each icing bag is a little numbered decorator tip. If you've decorated cakes before, you know they're usually silver. And without even thinking, she yells at her assistant, "Throw me a 22. I'm going to finish off the president." Yeah, can you believe that? And before she knew it, she was surrounded by the Secret Service men with their guns pulled out and pointing at her with security dogs barking. And my friend Donna was just terrified and horrified at all these guns pointing at her. And when she realized what she had said, she began yelling at them, you know, that the 22 was a decorator term for a decorator tip. And when they understood what she was saying, they backed off. And I asked her, "Did they apologize to you?" And she said no. They just went back to their post, and they kept an eye on her as she finished the cake. And then the president comes through, and he sees the cake, and he loves the cake. And so she then goes to the inaugural ball and meets her husband there, and she tells him everything that has happened, and she's still pretty shook up about it. And then at the ball, one of the Secret Service men, who later tells her that he almost shot her, wants to know if she's all right. And ironically, they bonded, and he ended up becoming a good friend of the family, so much that he came to their daughter's wedding. The cake, a replica of the cake, gets put in the Smithsonian Museum. But I can't even begin to imagine the stressed-out experience when all those guns were pointing at her. And, you know, stressors are the stimulus or threat that causes a stress. And it's a result of your mind telling your body that something is wrong and you're in danger or distress. And we couldn't even begin to list, if we stopped right now, list everything that stresses people out. And since I teach stress reduction sessions for companies, I poll people a lot because I'm really intrigued by finding out their answers. I ask them, what are the 3 things that stress you out the most? And at the top of the list is relationships, finances, and poor health. And I've heard different things like and since I live in the Midwest, you know, falling on the ice can be a stressor, bad weather, driving in bad weather. Politics right now is one for all of us. Worrying about their kids, conflict on the job, and, you know, the list can go on and on and on. But our stress level can also be determined by an accumulation of just little things that get on our nerves on a day-to-day basis. I was recently at a grocery store, and I asked a guy about the top three things that stress him out, and he quickly said, without even thinking, he goes, my job, my wife, and my kid. And I thought, oh, my goodness. And so I asked him, how do you deal with your stress? And he said, nothing. That's why I'm angry all the time. And unfortunately, if he stays in that mode, it's going to be very detrimental to him, his wife, and especially to his health. But Jesus talks about stress in the Bible. In John 16:33, he says, in this world, you will have tribulation. But he encourages us by saying, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And then in Psalm 139:14, the Word of God says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. See, God knew we were going to encounter stress, so he designed our bodies to manage it. And if we don't manage it, then there's going to be consequences. So I'm going to give you a science lesson, and bear with me because it's going to show you how awesome God is. It starts with the stress response that begins with our human brain. And did you know that our human brain can process 400 billion bits of information per second? So let's say when someone confronts an oncoming car or some kind of danger, the eyes or ears or both send the information to a tiny little thing in our brain the size of an almond, which is called the amygdala. And it's an area of the brain that does this emotional processing. And this amygdala interprets the images and sounds and instantly sends a distress signal to the hypothalamus. Now, the hypothalamus is in the center of your brain, and it's about the size of a garden pea. And from the moment you were born, it beats in conjunction with your heart until the day you die. And it serves as the command center and communicates with the rest of the body. And it's inside here where all those chemicals are stored that help lift you up or bring you down. And our mood is determined by these chemicals that are released from our brain. So if you watch a sad movie, it's the chemicals in here that are released that will tell your eye ducts to start watering. And then right underneath the hypothalamus, connected to that, and it's right above the roof of your mouth, is the pituitary gland, which is full of all kinds of hormones. So let's go back to the hypothalamus, which communicates with the rest of the body through your nervous system and triggers the fight or flight response. And that's providing the body a burst of energy so that it can respond to any perceived dangers. And then the hypothalamus sends a signal to the adrenal glands, which sits on the top of each kidney. And they send out adrenaline into the bloodstream, which circulates throughout your whole body, which causes your heart to beat faster, which is going to push blood to muscles and other vital organs in case you need to run or react. And it increases your blood pressure, your pulse rate, and you start breathing rapidly. And that happens so that the airways in the lungs can open up so the oxygen can get to your brain so you can become more alert. So God prepares your body. And that's so cool that he prepares your body to deal with situations. But what happens if you have these stressors day after day after day after day, nonstop? You're going to have more hormones released into your body, like cortisol. And if you don't keep these stress levels down, you're going to end up turning into the Hulk, or you're going to have some serious health issues. Because persistent cortisol and adrenaline surges can damage blood vessels and arteries, and increasing blood pressure can raise the risk of heart attack or stroke. So when you stress, your body releases also fat tissues into the bloodstream, which can lead to weight gain, especially around the middle. And that's going to lead into diseases such as diabetes and so forth. And then when you're overstressed, 70% of your non-dominant brain shuts down and diminishes our sense and our ability to retain information. So there have been studies that months of exposure to stress can permanently destroy neurons in your brain, which affects your learning, reasoning, impulse control, and your memory. So here's just a quick list of all the things. If you have excess cortisol in your body day after day after day, what's going to happen to you? You're going to have a decreased immune system, decreased metabolism, some depression, hostility, sleep deprivation, which is going to lead to chronic fatigue, arthritis, the belly fat, anxiety, backache, headache, just a whole bunch of other things. But okay, so that's the bad news. But here's the good news. Remember, God said you were fearfully and wonderfully made. God has made a way for you to lower the amounts of adrenaline and cortisol and stress in your body. So right now, I'm going to give you the 3L strategy to reduce levels of stress in your life. So here's L1. And the first one is laughter. So did you know that when you smile or laugh, a chemical is released from your brain called endorphins? So endorphins are a morphine-type substance, like a pain reliever, and it's created in your pituitary gland. So listen to all the things that happens when you laugh and endorphins are released. It's going to lower stress hormones. And if you remember in the 80s when there was the little Pac-Man, the little yellow round things with the mouths that open up and eat other Pac-Men, that's kind of what happens. Those little endorphins, they eat the little stress hormones, so it lowers them, and lowers the cortisol, lowers the adrenaline. And so laughter will dispel fear, anxiety, and worry. The laughter will help you cope with stressful situations, fight depression. Now, I don't know if you've ever heard of Norman Cousins, but he has done a huge study on the power of laughter and healing in the body. In fact, he dealt with a lot of illness. And so he checked himself out of the hospital, checked himself into a hotel, and not only did he take large doses of vitamin C, but he just surrounded himself with old reruns of Candid Camera, the Marx Brothers, old funny movies. And he discovered how it would relieve pain every time he laughed, and it made him feel so much better. So he's like known for this discovery. And going back to laughter, it enhances the respiratory system to put more oxygen in your body. Massages, when you laugh, it massages your internal organs, which aids in digestion. Laughter releases or relaxes tense muscles, lowers our blood pressure. Laughter stimulates the nervous system and improves circulation. Laughter will boost the immune system, raise your energy level 10 to 20%. And then endorphins also defog your brain. And then this is a real good one. When you laugh, did you know you burn calories? In fact, 10 minutes a day of belly laughing will burn like 10 to 40 calories. So that's pretty good if you don't have time to go to the gym. But laughter is when you release endorphins in your body, it's an all-around painkiller, and it will distract you from pain, worry, and fear. And then the simple act of laughing, again, will move your diaphragm up and down, which adds oxygen to your body. Again, the same result of doing some simple aerobic exercise. So laughing activates a part of the brain that helps you think better. Now, isn't that so cool that God designed your body that when you laugh, it will help your body? So if you want your stress levels to go down, you need to get your laughter level to go up. And in Proverbs 17:22, it says that a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. And there's Dr. William Fry, who said that 20 seconds of belly laughing provides the same cardiovascular workout as 3 minutes of aerobic exercise. So it's proven and scientifically proven that laughter will help. So we smile and we laugh through humor. And I don't know, probably none of you know this about me, but one of my jobs for the last 20 years has been working in a hospital as a humor therapist, working with children and adult cancer patients undergoing chemotherapy. So I'm kind of like the Patch Adams, a professional clown. And so my job is to work with people before they go to surgery to bring their anxiety down and to help them. So sense of humor is, I know without a doubt, helps people. So I'm going to give you some scriptures, and they all have to do with joy and laughter. So in Nehemiah 8:10, the joy of the Lord is my strength. In Psalm 2:4, he who sits in the heavens laughs. Now that's cool that God, he laughs. Proverbs 15:13, a glad heart makes a cheerful face. In Proverbs 31:25, strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. In 2 John 1:12, that your joy may be complete. Romans 15:13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy. I love this one, Psalm 126:2, our mouth should be filled with laughter. And then Job 8:22, of all people that understood stress, the scripture says, he will fill your mouth with laughter. And then Ecclesiastes 3:4, there's a time to laugh and a time to cry. So there are times when laughter and humor is not appropriate. So I don't want you to get the impression that, you know, should always, always be laughing. But I know that the toughest time in my entire life was when my amazing and beautiful little sister died at the age of 39. And so, believe me, there was nothing to laugh about. And for years, especially hard to work as a professional clown in the hospital because of just the grief. But I do remember when I spoke at her funeral, I was able to release some tension for our family because my sister was a very high achiever. And if you've ever been to Orlando and visited the Universal City Walk, she was instrumental in developing that area. She was a movie producer. She was a really take-charge person. So at her funeral, I portrayed her in heaven, taking charge and pretty much telling Jesus where her mansion was going to be. So that put a smile on everyone's face because they knew her so well. But we're going to move on to L2, and that is lifestyle change. About a year ago, I started to notice a lot of fatigue, a lot of sickness, and I'm unfortunately one of those people that likes to fit 28 hours in a 24-hour day and 8 days in a 7-day week. And I was just going nonstop. And so when I talked to a doctor because I was a little concerned. I'd say, doctor, I went into the other room of my house and I couldn't remember why I walked in there. And that happens a lot. And he just laughed at me because he said, listen, when you're under stress, your memory's not the best. And he related to me, you know, backing out his car and hitting his son's car because he was sleep deprivated and under a lot of stress. And then I went to another doctor, and they did some blood tests, and my adrenal glands were depleted because I just had just gone too much. And so I said, so what do I do? And so it was a very simple answer. She said, you need to make a lifestyle change. That's it? Yeah, that's a big thing. You need to make a lifestyle change. And so I started really praying and evaluating everything that I did. And John Maxwell, in his book, 15 Invaluable Laws of Growth, he talks about the law of reflection. And there's power in just sitting and pausing and reflecting. And Jesus even did that. In Matthew 14:23, he would go up into a mountain just by himself to pray. And in Psalm 46:10, it says, be still and know that I am God. When you seek the Lord about what you're going to do every single day, and he guides you, you'll know, okay, I'm not supposed to do this. I need to change this. God will help you. So really go to the Lord and say, God, what lifestyle changes do I need to make? Because as a Christian, we need to burn bright versus burning out, and we need to take care of ourselves. And then the last one, 3L, and that is let it go. Now, I'm not talking about the Frozen movie. There are so many things in life that we just need to let go. And we put a lot of things in front of a magnifying glass, and they get blown out of proportion. Things that we don't need to be stressing over. You've heard of heard of stressing over stupid things. Unfortunately, I've done that in my life a lot of times. And people stress over irritating little things that people say. My husband's a teacher at a college, and he says when he gets student reviews, it's easy to focus on one negative thing one person says versus the 20 good things. And so he says you got to learn to let things go. People stress over the way they look. People stress over the news, things that they don't have any control over. People stress on the road. You've seen people with road rage. So they're just things in life you just have to let go. Other things that you need to let go are anger, bad feelings, hostile feelings. And the way you let go of those is with forgiveness. If you hold on to unforgiveness, I'm just going to tell you, you're going to have stress in your life. And if you let go of those things, your stress level is going to go down. I love the story in Acts 28 where Paul talks about being a prisoner and shipwrecked. Now, that in itself is a stressful day. But when they get to the island, he's gathering up wood, and a snake attaches itself to his hand, and he shakes it off. And I think God put that in his story in there just to show us that, you know, we need to let things go. We need to shake them off instead of getting stressed over them. And in Philippians, Paul says, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, and I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We need to keep our focus on Christ versus magnifying on things that waste our time. And then there's one more thing that I wanted to tell you about our wonderfully and fearfully made bodies. When we have stressors in our life, God wants us to pray and talk with Him. In 1 Peter 5:7, it says to cast all our cares on Him because He cares for us. Well, He created our bodies with this nerve that goes from the back or the stem of our brain all the way down to our stomach. And it's called the wandering nerve because it attaches to many different vital organs. And there have been studies that when we pray or we even think about good things toward other people, it says that this nerve is stimulated to the point that it calms us down. And this vagus nerve stimulation is associated with benefits such as improved memory, immune function, sleep, and counteracting those stress hormones. Now, isn't it like God to have our bodies get healthy every time we pray? That is like so totally cool to me. So I'm going to review the 3L strategy. 1, laughter, which releases those endorphins. 2, lifestyle. So reflect daily on things you need to change to reduce stress in your life. And then 3, let it go. Don't stress over stupid things and minor things in life. So I hope this has helped you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I just bring all these awesome people to you right now. And I pray right now that if there's any stress in their life, that you will just meet them where they are and just help them. And we cast the cares upon you. And we pray that, Lord, you will help them to laugh. You will help them to let things go and help them to make lifestyle changes. And I lift up Rebecca right now that, Father God, you will give her wisdom and guidance. Because, Father God, your word promises that if we ask you, you will give us wisdom from above. I pray for Bob right now that in his little, responsibility that he has in his apartment buildings, that you'll just anoint him by your Holy Spirit to minister to these people. I mean, that is a big responsibility when you have homeless people living around you to minister Jesus. Because your word says that when we give a cup of water, it's the same as if Jesus is giving a cup of water. So, Father God, I pray you will encourage him right now that every time he talks to these homeless people, that you will give him the wisdom and love and let him know that it's just like Jesus standing in front of those people. Father, I lift up Stacy to you right now, that you will help her business just get off the ground and help her to get her house in order so that so that, Father God, you will bless her and just show her step one, step two, step three on how to accomplish all those things that she needs to do to be a success. I pray over Lenora that you will give her the perfect words to say at this conference this weekend, that you will just give her peace and joy, and she'll just love every single minute of it. Again, Father, I thank you for everybody on the line today. We especially lift up Becky and John as they travel home, that you will protect them and keep them safe. And again, where John's mother has passed away, that you will continue to comfort that family. You are the God of all comfort and peace. Thank you, Lord, for this day. I pray a blessing on every single person. In Christ's name, amen. God bless you, everybody. You guys have an awesome, awesome, blessed day today.